Shalom, welcome to Tehillim Yomi. Today we learn Mizmor, Samech Aleph, Psalm 61. Lamenatzeach al neginat l'David, Shema Elohim rinati hakshiva tfilati, Mikze ha'aretz elecha ekra v'atof libi b'tzur yavrum mimeni tancheni. Ki ayit ha'machseli migdal oz mipnei oyev, agur bo'alecha olamim echse b'seter k'natecha sela. To the chief musician, Neginat LeDavid, stringed instruments, a psalm of David. Hear my cry, O God, attend my prayer. From the end of the earth I will cry to you when my heart is faint. Lead me to the rock that is too high from me. For you have been a shelter for me and a strong tower against the enemy. I will abide in your tent forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings, Selah. This short psalm repeats many of the themes we've seen in Davidic psalms until this point, but adds a new title, Al Neginat LeDavid. Verse 3 presents interesting formulations which we have encountered in Psalms. Mikze Aretz, from the end of the earth, appeared in Psalm 19 with reference to the heavens praising God. And in 46, the same language is here in reference to God stopping wars throughout the world. More interesting is the second half with the phrase Bitsur Yarum, lifted up on a rock. We encounter David's desire to be lifted up above his enemies in Psalm 27, and his gratitude to God in Psalm 40 for having been raised up on solid rock. Here he adds one element when he writes, lead me to the rock that is too high for me. He asks for guidance ascending that rock, that high place, from where he will have refuge. The word machseh in verse 4 and echseh in verse 5, both having the connotation of protection, appears in different formulations 12 times in Tehillim, always with David seeking God's sanctuary or thanking God for his protection. Migdal Oz, the tower of strength, appears only in this psalm here, but it is in line with David's continued desire for God's guardianship from his enemies. Ki ata Elohim shamata l'nidarai natata yirushat yirei shemecha, Kain azamra shimcha la'ad l'shalmin nedara yom yom. For you, God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. So I will sing praise to your name forever and as I daily perform my vows. I've chosen to study, this is verse 6 and 9. I've chosen to study the bookends of the second section and then the middle verses. Section 1 focused on the classic call of the psalmist to God for protection from enemies, a trope we have read over and over again. The change occurs in the second section, which discusses his vows that he has made to God and plans to make once again. This aspect of the vows is not new, as we've seen him speak about fulfilling his vows in Psalm 22, in Psalm 56, as well as several more times in Psalms. David here speaks of God listening to his vows and thus having given inheritance to his loyal ones. Once again, we are reminded of Yaakov making a vow when running away from his father's home, a vow to accept upon himself the highest level of responsibility towards God and his family. Later on in Bereshit 31:13, the angel of God comes to Yaakov in a dream and reminds him of his vow. Part of it was to return to his ancestral land, and that is exactly what Yaakov does. Israel makes a vow to God, Yiftach too, Chana and her husband Elkanah. Even the non-Jewish sailors in the boat of Jonah make vows. Each time it connotes a return to accept the responsibilities stipulated to God earlier. Here is no exception. The final section to discuss, and here it is not the conclusionary verse, but the two leading up to that conclusion, speaks of the king, Yamim al Yamei Melech Tosif Shnotav Dor Kmo Dor Vador, Yeshev Olam Lefnei Elohim Ches Ve'emet Man Yintzeruhu. Prolong the king's life, may his years be as many generations, may he be enthroned before God forever, oh, point love and truth that they may preserve him. It's a famous song that people like to sing when they speak of a great righteous person. They start singing this song, Yamim al Yamei Melech Tosif, may he have a long life. How do these verses fit into the theme of the second half of the psalm? Commentators debate if the author, David, was talking about himself, just in third person. Let the king, which is me, have a long life. If so, it would presumably fit in with his sandwiched verses about vows and God fulfilling them for him. Recall that the last verse uses the word Cain, so too, I will praise your name forever. David then is asking for more time as king so that he may continue to sit before God and abide by his values of chesed and emet, kindness and truth. If, however, the king is not referring to himself in third person, or the author is not David, then what then do the verses about strengthening the king have to do with fulfilling my vows? Amos Chacham offers a plethora of possibilities, seeing as how there is some confusion about the author. He suggests either it is the king himself, as we've mentioned, or perhaps is an army general who's in the battle with an enemy from the end of the earth, who's in trouble and thus calls out to God and then calls out for the king to endure. Finally, he considers it as an average Israelite who is in crisis during Israel's wars and turns to God in prayer. Then turns to all of Israel, Yirei Shemecha, those who fear you, and specifically on the king who leads them into battle.